All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Right After Thrones. Matt Datz, Tim Curry here. Preview pod, episode 4. So over halfway done the series, first of all. Halfway done the season. Curry, first of all, welcome.
It's good to be here. I love doing these preview episodes. Get the crazy theories out there, get to shoot them down.
Love it.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. So where we always start the preview pods is quick trailer recap, quick photos recap. No title of the episode yet, obviously. But Curry, let's talk a little trailer talk.
What do we got? Yeah, so let's talk trailer. It's a very short trailer. It's only about 30 seconds.
Two quotes.
Two quotes, both from Daenerys.
Cool.
But let's just get, you know, we have some screen grabs and screenshots. We're just going to go through it and talk about what we're seeing, slow it down, make sure we haven't missed anything. So it starts with the aftermath of the Battle of Winterfell. There's smoke, there's flames, quick shot.
Then, carnage.
Say it again?
Carnage.
Carnage, absolutely. Then we get a shot of Cersei looking over King's Landing, and her troops are assembling, Golden Company, and they're fresh.
Yeah.
They are well-rested, well-fed,
and all good.
Significant home field advantage for them.
Yes.
Then we see Euron and Cersei together. He's over her shoulder,
ooh,
looking at her. Again, just giving us that context that Cersei has power on her side and at her fingers.
Absolutely.
Then we get the next on Game of Thrones graphic, and then it cuts to Sansa. And this is similar to the Cersei shot where we're looking over Sansa's shoulder and seeing what she's overlooking, and it's the surviving northern troops.
Yes.
Not looking great. Not looking great.
Bleak.
So they're recovering, they're wounded, they're much fewer troops than Cersei has, and it's going to be tough. They have a tough battle ahead. Not this episode, obviously, but tough battle ahead.
They might get some help, too.
Hopefully. So then they get a shot of Sansa and Arya, both looking pretty beat, pretty grim.
Arya's face a little beat up.
A little bit, yeah. Then we get a shot of Jon doing the same thing. He's got a wound on his face. He's looking pretty sad, concerned. So we know that there's going to be some sort of
mass funeral.
Giant funeral pyre. So that's what's going on here. Then we get a shot of Daenerys, Missandei, and Lord Varys just next to each other. And this is when we get Daenerys with her quote, where she says, "We've won the Great War, now we will win the Last War." So
I love it.
The only thing noteworthy here is that Tyrion is not in the shot, and you would think that he would be one of her advisors.
Hand of the Queen.
Hand of the Queen, so he's not in this shot. And then it picks up a little bit here, and Daenerys raises her cup, and no one is at her side. It's just her at the head of the table. And then we see everyone else that's in the room raising their cups. They're all cheering, standing ovation for Daenerys for her rallying speech,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, and save the crew. Big save.
Yeah. And we see Jon in this shot. He is to the left, but sitting next to Tormund, but not next to Daenerys. So that's just something.
Tormund's
something
still alive.
Something to note, that we know that there's going to be this kind of internal struggle with Jon and Daenerys. And if they're not sitting next to each other, then, or, you know, if they're not co-leaders.
What's good?
Then, yeah, what's going on? So our next shot, we have Daenerys with Drogon. So we see, you know, Drogon's alive and well. Quickly cuts away to Arya kissing Gendry.
Who?
Good for them.
Hey,
those crazy kids. I mean, she killed the Night King. So, like,
she had a great 12 hours.
They got to celebrate that.
She had a great 12 hours there.
Then we in this shot, we see the massive funeral pyres. So it's outside of the walls of Winterfell, but everyone's out there, and looks like we got Grey Worm and Daenerys, Sam Tarly, like everyone, all the major players are out there. Ghost is in the shot. We know Ghost survived.
Ghosty.
And it looks like Jon and Grey Worm, and I'm not sure who else, maybe Sansa, are actually lighting the several funeral pyres. So
Got it.
Then we have a shot of just quick shot of Daenerys looking kind of upset. We have dragons, a dragon flying over the ships that are sailing. Where are they sailing to? What is it, like a Dragonstone?
Dragonstone, we'll talk about it.
Quick shot of Cersei and Euron. And he is, seems like he's proposing to her. He's down on a knee, he's holding her hand. He's, at the very least, he's like begging, pleading for something.
For something, yeah.
And she kind of looks amused. Like, usually she looks kind of...
evil.
Evil, yeah. But she's got a little smile, like not like a... not necessarily a smirk, like she's smiling. Qyburn's also in the background being creepy.
Qyburn.
And is it the mountain back there too? I think the mountain's back there too.
Got it.
So then we get a shot of Sansa from behind looking over the Winterfell sky, and we see two dragons flying.
Love
so
it.
We know that both Rhaegal and Drogon survived. We get a close up.
It would have been nice to see it last week.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Jesus.
Wish
so
we,
much
yeah.
stuff. Okay, Grey Worm's good. Okay, like all these people are good.
We get a close up shot of Sansa, just kind of focused in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that she's learned from the best political minds that she has to outthink people. She has to always be worried about what people's motives are. So she's got a lot on her mind. Then we get a quick shot of Davos and Jon are on horses and heading out of Winterfell. Gilly's also in there watching them go.
Let's roll south, boys.
And yeah, so they're heading south.
Southbound.
At the very least, they're going to White Harbor and then sailing, because that's where they sail from. We get a shot of the Targaryen fleet at sea. Giant black sails, giant red dragon. Lot of ships. So again, they're probably sailing from White Harbor, which is like the northern port.
Yeah.
Probably sailing from White Harbor to Dragonstone.
Last time John and Danny made that trip the other way, there was some extracurricular activity.
The boats were rocking.
The boats were as it was a rocky sea that night, for sure.
So I have a feeling it'll be a little less colder of a trip this time.
Separate beds.
Yeah, right.
No, we'll see.
Then we have a shot of Daenerys looking up, and Drogon is crouched behind her as if like he's her muscle. He's backing her up.
Love it.
Pretty intimidating. We've seen him do that before.
He consoled her at the end of the last episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's looking up, or she's looking up, so there's a chance that maybe she's looking at Jon, or maybe she's just looking at Rhaegal, or maybe both of them.
Got it.
Then we get another shot of Cersei. She's got her whole squad in the back, the mountain, Euron, Qyburn. And this is when we get Daenerys' voiceover, the last quote. She says, "We will rip her out root and stem."
Mm. Love it.
And that's the end of the trailer.
Notable in this trailer, we're getting a lot of daylight, which is good, which is always good.
Yeah, we're going to get daylight. We're not going to see the complaints about the darkness.
The stark contrast from Sunday night. Even when the preview came on, I was like, oh, shit, like, this is Game of Thrones. Like, awesome.
But a lot of people that we didn't see in the trailer, some bigger names, Tyrion, Jaime, yes. You know, none of that Campfire Six, you know, Jaime.
Campfire Crew.
Brienne, Davos, none of them. Oh, we do see Davos, but... So, yeah, so none of them, and I think just the main one there is Tyrion, because we know that he is Daenerys' hand of the queen, and he's been making some poor decisions. Yeah, he's on
he
a cold streak.
He did Jack Squat last in the battle.
And there's still reason to be skeptical of him based on last season's
off-screen communications
with Cersei.
And hashtag Tyrion Targaryen, probably not happening, but...
Probably not happening.
Just throwing it out there.
Out on that, been out on that since day one.
Love it.
So we have 8 photos that were released for promo photos, and just looking over them now after looking at the trailer, they're very similar. So the first 3 were all shots that we saw in the trailer. There's Daenerys and Drogon, there's the funeral pyres, and there's Daenerys with her ships. So we saw them already.
Let's go, yep.
So we have a couple more here. There's one of... Now, Tyrion's in this photo. So it's Tyrion, Daenerys, Missandei, Varys, and Grey Worm looking over the dead soldiers that possibly Unsullied, possibly Dothraki, at the funeral mass pyres that they're going to have.
Pyres, baby.
There's another shot of... Now, this one is kind of opposite them. It's the Starks. It's Bran, Arya, Sansa, and then behind them is Davos, the Hound, and a lot of northern soldiers. So seems like they kind of are dividing the funerals.
Your squad.
It's possibly like some foreshadowing, like, we're the North, this is where our loyalties are.
Yep.
You're the Dragon Queen.
This is our
crew. That's where your loyalties are. So maybe a little tension, even though they just survived this epic long night battle.
Yeah.
Where they were united. But yeah, after that, we'll see. We get a shot of Jon holding a torch to go light the pyres. Again, he's got a giant wound on his face, and he's looking pretty grim. And we have two more. So the last one we get of the Northern forces, which is Daenerys' forces, we have Daenerys, Varys, and Missandei, and they are standing next to a strategy table, a map. Yes. So
let's roll
another war council planning what the next move is in terms of King's Landing. And then the very last promo photo they gave us is Euron and Cersei, similar to one we saw in the trailer. He's behind her. They're both kind of smirking. So things are going well for the two of them.
Yeah, lovebirds down there for sure. So there is the trailer analysis and the promo photos. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. Cool. All right, so there's everything we have knowledge on the next episode. And now we get to kind of theorize a little bit, talk a little preview, talk a little thoughts, takeaways from, you know, where we left off, and jumping points for the rest of these final three episodes of Game of Thrones. Big time. So where do you want to start, Curry?
So let's talk theories here. So one theory is that I want to talk about is Arya's theory, and it was foreshadowed last episode where it was foreshadowed originally back in season 2
yes.
with Melisandre, and then it was again reinforced last episode where she said, you know, you're going to close brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes.
Yes.
So we know that blue eyes was the Night King.
Obviously.
Brown eyes, Baelish, Walder Frey, green eyes, this is the next logical step, is Cersei.
Yeah. Green eyes could be...
Green eyes could also be Baelish.
Yeah.
It's kind of
they
unclear.
Said in the book... Gray, green eyes. So everyone's kind of like,
yeah.
What?
So the theory is, Melisandre called it from the beginning that Arya's going to kill the Night King and Cersei, and, you know, those are the eyes that she's talking about.
Different order, though, in the original.
Yeah, they changed it up. They changed it up last episode, but we'll allow it. We'll allow it. However, I'm out on this theory just because... Like we said...
You're out on the theory, to clarify. You're out on the theory that she has one more kill for those eyes, and it's Cersei.
Yes.
Got it.
So, specifically regarding the eyes, I mean, she's killed a lot of people. I'm sure she's killed someone with green eyes. So, let's get that out of the way.
And Baelish has that gray-green.
Yeah. So, let's get that out of the way. That it's not like, oh, she's never killed anyone with green eyes. It has to be Cersei. Out on that. And then, two, just like we said in the wrap-up episode, I think she's kind of... had her big kill, her big catch. She got the Night King. I don't think it would be right for her to also get Cersei. She might. She's got the assassin skills. But, yeah, I think someone else would deserve that kill.
Not far-fetched theory, I would say, but Daenerys has green eyes. And I saw a theory about this. But I just want to mention a quote from preseason from Sophie Turner.
Sure, sure.
That's worth noting.
Sure.
What'd she say?
Talking about betrayal?
The season is full of betrayal.
It's full of betrayal.
We have not seen any betrayal.
No, we haven't seen any.
So we
know that Sansa and the North are kind of not seeing eye to eye with
Daenerys. She walked back the comments after it kind of blew up, but still, it was said. So, something to watch for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, again, like I said, I'm out on the green eyes thing, but... I don't think Arya would turn on Daenerys.
No, not yeah. I think it's more of,
especially with the way she is with Jon, her and Jon are, you know, they're very tight. Arya.
Yeah.
So I don't think she would go against Jon's wishes. Now
let's see what Jon. Yeah.
If Jon and Daenerys all of a sudden are at odds, different ball game.
Exactly. But, all cards on the table.
Yeah. But still out on that.
Out on that for sure. Okay. So let's talk Jon and Daenerys, because. I think in perfect world, and I like kind of how they set this up, is John just poo-poos it, doesn't say anything about it, and like he just goes on his merry way, doesn't make a big deal out of it. But we have this other angle with Sam Tarley and Brand, but to more extent, Sam Tarley, especially after what happened with his dad and his brother. He has that little bit of angst towards Danny. We saw that was like the theme of episode one. So we'll see where that picks up. But talk a little bit about John-Danny dynamic moving forward.
So that's going to be one of the main conflicts, I think, in the next episode, the next few, the last three, is what do they do? Whose claim to the throne do they support? What do the two of them do with their relationship? Like,
there's
a lot to take in here. And we saw that Sam is going to be first in line campaign manager for Jon Aegon Targaryen to be king of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yes.
And we know that Daenerys has, her whole life has been, you know, I want the Iron Throne.
And she's the rightful heir.
And turns out she's not. So
her reaction.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be
Mad Queen.
Tough for her. That's going to be tough for her. And it's not in Jon's nature to try to be a leader. Like, he's a natural leader, but he's never wanted to be.
He's been power hungry.
He's never been power hungry the way that she has always been.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this.
I think what we might see, which would add like gasoline to this potential fire, is if other people find out about it before it's like, they want to make it public. If it's Sam saying, like, if Sam's frustrated and he says something to Gilly and Gilly says something to someone, or like, if it comes out to the people that this is a legit thing before they can kind of make it on their terms, then I think it gets like dicey as can be. Like, imagine how shocked Jon is, and like, you know, but the people themselves, like, this is Jon Snow, this is King of the North, blah, 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 blah. When they find out that their guy is that, I mean, their heads are going to explode.
I think there's three main people who hearing this information would really affect.
Yeah.
One, I would say, is Tyrion. And I know that, you know, he's Daenerys's hand to the queen, but at the same time, he's a Jon Snow fan.
Yes.
Always has been. And I think he would understand that, you know, they both would be just rulers. They talked about this in episode one.
Yes.
But if it turns out that Jon is the true heir, then, you know, and people chose Daenerys, but people chose Jon too.
Exactly. And so, people in Westeros more so chose Jon.
So I think Tyrion would be, and just the influence he has over others, it would be interesting to see where his allegiance lies.
Yeah.
Another one would be Sansa.
Yes.
Because we know she's not a fan of Daenerys, and she's also kind of skeptical of Jon.
Yes.
Just in that, you know, she's all for the North.
And Stark.
She sees that, She sees that Jon is a little distracted by Daenerys, and if she's the Lady of Winterfell, if she finds out Jon is a Targaryen, and I mean, he's also Stark, but, you know, not a male Stark, then it's like, all right, well, the North are my people, Jon. Like,
have a good one.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
So, interesting to see what Sansa, how she responds. The third, and I'm going to throw a fourth in there, but the third, I would say, is Lord Varys.
Yes.
So, wild card here. So, he has been behind the Targaryen restoration in Westeros since season one, him and his boy Illyrio.
Yes.
Since season one, episode one. And he was working behind the scenes, but he's always been for the good of the realm.
Realm.
He never, ever, ever said that he was supporting Daenerys Targaryen specifically. He always said he was supporting the realm. That's why he led this restoration. That's why, you know, he knew that the Mad King was bad. He knew that Robert wasn't great. Like, he has always been looking out for the good of the realm.
Yes.
And Daenerys called him out on it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She said, you know, why should I trust you? Blah, blah, blah. Like,
Spider.
Yeah. And if he finds out that Jon has the better claim to the throne, that Jon's a Targaryen, I mean, a guy like that who's looking out for the good of the realm would go crazy over Jon. He's a Stark and a Targaryen. It's, you know, two legendary houses of Westeros.
Yes.
We've seen what kind of leader Jon is,
selfless,
what kind of man he is. Like, he would be perfect for the realm. So Varys could definitely be switching sides and bringing guys with him to support Jon.
Got it. You want to throw in a fourth?
Fourth, Cersei. Just, it doesn't change her position, but it would change who she's... It would just add a second target for her.
Yes.
She hates Daenerys. She, you know, the Dragon Queen, the silver-haired bitch. She hates Daenerys, but she finds out that Jon also has a claim to the throne and is also coming for the Iron Throne. Then she's like, all right, well, you're up next, too. Like,
yeah.
So,
the thing is, does it change Jon and Daenerys is the big question. Because all those things get simplified if it doesn't change them.
Yeah. I think it has to change them.
Yeah.
How can it not? And I think... best case scenario for the two of them is John just says, forget about this. I don't want this. This is your life. You're the queen. I already bent the knee to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is all you. And then even, I feel like she's totally cool with incest. Like, that was that was the Targaryen way.
Yeah. She wasn't like,
and they're not even brother, sister, they're aunt and nephew, not to, you know, get into degrees of, you know, what kind of incest is okay. But In their society, the Targaryens, like, this would be okay.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be, like, the best case scenario is Jon says, forget about it. She says, okay, let's keep on doing this. Like, you know,
would
I
be
still love you.
Would that make sense, though? Would you be satisfied with Game of Thrones kind of just...
I was getting there. I mean, Game of Thrones isn't a best case scenario show. So I don't see any outcome.
Except for last
outcome.
Week.
Yeah, maybe last week. But I don't see any outcome where the two of them are agreeing and there's no conflict, at least in their support. So something's going to happen, whether it's Sam telling people, whether it's Bran and Sam telling people, and Sansa finding out, and Varys finding out. Like, something is going to happen, and there's one key piece that it could be.
Yes, that's what I want to get to next.
So
our boy.
So Howland Reed.
Our boy Howland Reed. So explain to the people, Howland Reed, who the hell, what the hell? Key piece. Tell us who Howland Reed is.
So Howland Reed is the
only, and where he is.
Yeah. So he's the only living witness, other than John, from the Tower of Joy, back in Robert's Rebellion. The flashback, the Bran witnessed of John's birth.
Yes.
So Howland Reed was there. He was one of Ned Stark's most loyal bannermen
when John was born.
So he was there. Howland Reed was actually the one to save Ned, to kill Sir Arthur Dayne, to wound him, and then Ned finished him off. So that's Howland Reed. Since then, Howland Reed, he's the Lord of... I want to get the name right. Howland Reed, he's the father to...
Yeah, I'll carry this for a little bit, and I'll get to plug my theory while you look that up.
So he's the father of Meera Reed and Jojen Reed.
Got it. So Meera Reed, and a lot of people are Meera Reed stans out there. I might be a little bit of one of them. Meera Reed is the person who, thick brown hair, she was the one who her brother, they were wheeling with Bran above the wall. She was the one who was wheeling Bran out of the Three-Eyed Raven area when Hodor was holding the door. She was the one who last season, she said, like, Bran, I'm going to go home. And he was kind of, like, emotionless. And she was like, what the hell? And my brother died for you. And he was like, I'm not really Bran anymore. And that was kind of the beginning of the end of, like, the Bran Stark that we knew. And the huge development into the Three-Eyed Raven, continued development into the Three-Eyed Raven. Let me shamelessly plug this quick theory just in case we have it on record if it does somehow happen. That Meera Reed is, like you said, the daughter of Howland Reed, who was there at the Tower of Joy, the scene where John's mom dies and Ned takes John. And all that happened. So he's the only living witness to that happening. Meera Reed, also the same age as Jon Snow. You got him in a side-by-side and some good lighting. They look very similar. And since, you know, he was there when babies were getting handed out, some people have theorized that Meera Reed may be Jon Snow. And it would make sense to separate them. If there was two kids, maybe another one came out that day, and it was Meera Targaryen. But that's just a theory that's going out there. I like to push it a little bit just because it's fun. They're same age, look similar, whatever. They were both there. Both parents were there. But where's Howland Reed from?
So House Reed is Greywater Watch.
Okay, that's
where they're from. And I knew that, too. I just wanted to
look location, sure, too. Right. Location's key here.
So they're the southernmost house of the north. And To be honest, they should probably should have been involved in
Battle of the Bastards
battles so far. Yeah, you would think that they're, since they're bannermen of House Stark, that, you know, call your banners. That's the phrase. So
yes.
That they would have been called for the Battle of the Bastards. They would have been called for the Battle of Winterfell, a long night.
Yes.
And we haven't seen that. So that's...
Maybe they're holding out for something bigger.
Maybe they're holding out. Maybe just since Ned died, they've kind of cut off some ties there. Yeah. I don't know. But they haven't been around.
Yeah. So it would be a little weird for them to just kind of, be, you know, walk in like, hey, Howland, like, how's it going, man? Like, he confirms everything, but it's like, yo, dude, where were you when we needed you, you know, when shit was going down at Winterfell? So they weren't there. You think we see Howland Reed?
I think there's a chance, especially since we've been introduced to Mira already.
Yes.
And she didn't really have a satisfying conclusion. It was just like, I did all this for you, Bran, and
she was like,
you
know, crying.
See you later. Yeah, she was
pissed.
And he was
like, have a good one.
So
thanks for playing.
So yeah, so her character arc was kind of disappointing, and Howland Reed, just I feel like the fact that he's the only living witness from Tower of Joy, he's the only one that can actually confirm Jon Snow's identity.
Yeah,
and
I'm putting it 60% chance we see him.
I would go maybe 66.
Wow, I thought you were going to go lower. Okay, cool.
I think we see him.
Cool. And that guy,
I hope we see him. I hope we see him.
It would be cool for sure. All right, so let's keep going here. Where do we want to go to next? You think? We talked trailer analysis for this, but let's talk a quick. Put a bow. We're in the process of finishing out the preseason trailer. There's two things,
yes.
Right?
So the preseason trailers that were released, we've seen almost every shot has been from the first three episodes, but there's two shots that were in the preseason trailers that we haven't seen yet. I'm like 98% sure we haven't seen. One that we haven't seen for sure is of Jon and Daenerys in Dragonstone. And we know it's Dragonstone because people did some detective work, some homework, and they're in front of this fireplace that we saw in previous seasons, the rocks, the formations. So it's Dragonstone. So Daenerys is looking into the fire. Jon's behind her. They're both, he's kind of, you know, got that brooding look on his face that he has.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's coming. And that was kind of the giveaway that we knew they were going to survive this battle, because they have to make it to Dragonstone at some point. So that's how we know that that's probably where they're going. It's Daenerys' home. It's closer to King's Landing. So that'll probably be where they post up. The other shot we have is of Tyrion Lannister. And when we saw this in the preseason, we assumed it wasn't in the north because there's no snow on the ground. It's just kind of dirt, brown. He doesn't look like he's dressed for the north, for the weather. Looks a little warmer, and he's got, you know, a grim look on his face. He's looking pretty worried, pretty concerned, and he's looking up. Now obviously he's, you know, an imp, a half man, so he's usually looking up, but he's looking up as if he's looking up at a dragon or possibly something as large as the mountain. Like he's looking up and he's very concerned. So there's two shots
we will see
that we are going to see that we haven't yet.
Got it. You said mountain. People think go Game Bowl. It's happening, right?
I think it has to.
It must.
I mean, it's such fan service, but
it is.
It's like it's the best kind of fan service.
It's the best. It is.
It's not like, you know, oh, we're gonna ship Tormund and Brienne because, you know, Tormund's funny and flirts with her. Like, yeah, that's fine. But like, this is something that it's like these two guys don't like each other. They're both massive beings, and they have history. Like the mountain scarred the Hound when they were children. Like they had a brief interaction with swords in a season one during the tournament. So there's history, there's unfinished business.
Yes.
They're on opposite sides of this battle. We need Clegane Bowl.
We're getting it. We're getting Clegane Bowl. It's almost a guarantee. Hound survives, and now it's like it's happening. It's fan service, but we're cool with it.
Now, I could see this could be kind of more of Arya's story where she kind of gets revenge for the Hound if the mountain takes down the Hound, because then she'd also cross the name off her list and get revenge for the Hound because they actually had a good relationship. They didn't hate each other the way they act. So I could see that happening, or I could just see the Hound going one-on-one and winning this thing.
Clegane Bowl.
Clegane Bowl. I hope it happens.
Who wins it?
Who wins it?
If it happens.
Well, the mountain's not surviving. Like either the Hound wins straight up or mountain wins and Arya kills him. I would say
the mountain wins.
I'll say the Ham wins. I think the Ham wins.
I like it. I like we're on record there. I like that a lot. So that's kind of something that's kind of we're kind of crashing towards. Something that's kind of fanning out and kind of done maybe, and I'm curious to think get your take on where you think it goes. Bran Stark, three-eyed Raven. What are we left with besides just a weird Bran now?
Yeah, so we don't have much Bran left in terms of his storyline, because for seasons now, including a season that he wasn't even in, he was just building up for the Three-Eyed Raven and the Night King.
Yes.
So from here on out, the Night King is gone.
Yes.
As far as we know. and
on-screen death.
and like, what purpose can Bran serve? One thing...
Which is dangerous.
Yeah, right? One theory out there is that he could become... He could, like, harness his powers even more and kind of become, like, the second Bran the Builder and, like, build up the wall where it was torn down.
Yeah.
Not really in on that, because why do they need a wall? Correct. Unless it's, like, Bran says something like, oh, you know, we defeated the Long Night for now, but there will be another. Something, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, something weird.
But, yeah, out on that. But he could also be used to corroborate Jon's lineage.
Yes.
You know, he's the one that has seen that. I don't know. I mean, he already did that with Sam. So
yes.
I don't think having him do that for more people is really a useful.
Severin, Tyrion, Targaryen, probably not happening.
So really, I mean, Bran,
that's why it just gets weird.
They could go anywhere with this Bran story. They could have Bran just, you know, tie himself to a tree like the last Three-Eyed Raven, you know?
Yeah, right.
Just, the tree grew around him because he just lived in that
tree. Yeah, I'm just going to chill up here at this Weirwood. Yeah. Like, you guys go down south, like, I'll just be chilling.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Bran will definitely stay in the north. He hasn't gone south.
Oh, you don't think he goes down?
He hasn't gone south all season.
All series.
All series, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been Winterfell and north of the Wall, and that's it. So I don't think he's going to start going south now. Plus, you got to wheel him around. I mean, he's a liability out there.
That's tough.
I don't know.
But
I guess.
Do you think anyone stays back with him? Maybe Bran just, like, he just runs point at Winterfell.
I don't know. Yeah.
Sansa's coming down.
Is she?
You don't know. You don't think so?
I don't know.
I think they're all coming down. That's what I just assumed.
There must always be a Stark in Winterfell.
Bran's the man.
Yeah, it could be Bran.
I can't see Sansa sitting this out.
I could, just because every time a Stark has gone to King's Landing, has gone south and left Winterfell, it's been bad.
Yeah, and she knows that.
Yeah. Her father went, didn't come back. Rob and her mother went, didn't come back. So
Arya went and then was gone for like 10 years.
Yeah, Arya went on a hero's journey, came back as a trained assassin. So
exactly. Wearing faces.
One out of five, not bad. One out of four. So
got it. Yeah, we'll see. Always got to be Stark and Winterfell. So, yeah, you sold me on Bran staying back. I don't know about Sansa, but we'll see.
But the one thing with Sansa is she has to make a play, and she's very kind of proud of the fact that she survived Cersei. Like, she knows Cersei,
mm-hmm.
and so she'll want to be there for sure.
Yeah, I think she might say, hey, you guys don't get Cersei. I got to be there to be the eyes and ears out there. Shifting gears a little bit, Bronn, man. We're seeing Bronn.
Sir Bronn
at some point.
The Blackwater. Last we saw him was he went on this
mission.
He got
a nice little weapon.
Yeah, he accepted this contract from Cersei via Qyburn that she wants Bronn to kill Jaime and or Tyrion.
Yeah.
And gave them the crossbow that Joffrey used and Tyrion used to kill Tywin. So, yeah, I mean, it's... I don't think Bronn's going to do it.
Nah, I don't think so.
He's a sellsword. That's the thing.
That's a sellsword.
It's in his nature. He has no loyalty except to the highest bidder, basically. He's always said that, too, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's almost like a character arc completion. Like, not that we need a Bronn character arc completion, because he's just kind of the man chilling out there. Mm-hmm. But, like, him, like, it would almost be savvy, but, like, him, like, not taking the money and, like, doing, like, what's right for his boys would be kind of like his, like, wow, Bronn's not, like, a soul to the highest bidder type guy anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean...
What, you think he might do it?
I think he'd be more likely to kill Jaime than Tyrion.
Okay.
People
forget that him and Tyrion were, like the original, the OGs.
Yeah, that was his introduction to the story to anyone. Was he
fought for?
He fought for Tyrion. He was with them, and yeah, so fought for Tyrion up at the Vale.
Yeah, the Moondor.
Yep,
Moondor place. Yeah, I don't think he does it. I think it's almost like hey, like you owe me that castle because she offered me this and I didn't do it, bro. Like, and let's go fight her. I think that's most likely to happen, but we'll see.
And the other thing with Bronn, just one last thing, is he hinted at it last season that he said to Jaime, dragons is where our relationship ends.
Yeah.
So he could always switch sides. Like, there's no reason to say that he has to fight against them.
Yeah. It's even just Jaime coming down. It's interesting. And I meant to touch on this in the analysis we just did. But like, we got so, it was so like Game of Thrones is all about like the political stuff, all that. And like, and that just got put aside. Like on the back burner, all these people come together. It was awesome, you know. We're all got this common enemy, and now we're back to like the political Iron Throne, like where the show is like really, absolutely, really grooves. It'll be interesting for sure. Episode 5, Sopochnik, same director as Battle of Winterfell. So it's battle time.
Yeah, you know that's going to be the fight scene. It's a battle.
So what do we get next this episode?
So this coming episode, episode 4, untitled. We know. It's going to be kind of the aftermath of the Long Night and setting up for episode 5 and the coming battle with Cersei in King's Landing.
Yeah, reintro to the Cersei plotline. We haven't seen
we haven't seen her in two episodes.
Two, three episodes. So yeah, we're going to reintro that. We'll get some daylight, which will be nice. I got one more thing. You got anything else?
Just a couple questions. I'm scrolling through our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's anything specifically we can touch on.
Right after GOT, follow it.
Absolutely. So we have, most of it we've touched on, Hal and Reed, Danny and John discussing their lineage, the funeral, the celebration coming up.
I have one more big one.
Oh, yeah, let's get to your big one then.
Dario. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, so Dario Naharis.
Refresh the people.
Was the leader of the Second Sons, which is an army of mercenaries over in Essos.
Essos before. Danny sailed the Seven Seas.
He, you know, bent the knee to Daenerys. Second Sons fought for Daenerys. And they were a large part of her forces over in Essos.
Longer hair guy, some facial hair.
Yeah, good looking guy. Previous, boy toy for Danny.
Exactly.
She left him over there partly because she needed someone to lead in Marine,
yes,
in Slaver's Bay of Dragons, and partly because she couldn't bring over a boyfriend because she needed to have alliances in Westeros, possibly through marriage.
Yeah, which we still may see.
Yeah, yet to see that. So Daenerys, we know that their forces are depleted after this battle.
Very much so.
So it's possible that she could send some ships over to Essos, say, Dario, babe, let's get the gang back together.
Exactly.
Let's bring them over, and let's take the Iron Throne.
Second Sons are legit.
They're legit. They're very legit. Yeah, I mean, they're not the Golden Company.
No.
We know the Golden Company is like number one.
Yes.
But they're legit. They're nothing to overlook.
We'll take anybody, but we'll definitely take the Second Sons.
Yeah. So, it could happen. We saw Melisandre. We saw Melisandre just show up this episode, so
yes,
we know it's possible for characters to just reappear unannounced.
Oh, that's tough.
I'm
cool with the Second Sons coming if they come this episode. If the Second Sons save the battle,
I can't see them doing that.
I walk off set.
Yeah.
But
yeah, show's canceled.
I know.
No, I really, I can't see them doing that. Like we've said, that's.
Kind of an overused woman.
A little bit. But that's at this point, it's an overused plot device.
Yes.
And I can't see them in like the penultimate episode, the final battle, the final boss. I can't see them doing that again.
Oh, very Senna Raven. He told us to get here.
Yeah. Right.
What? That would be bad. That would be very bad.
Yeah.
I think there's a solid chance we see him. I'm going to put it 60% again. I don't know why I'm living 60% with everything. Just because they're so depleted.
I would go under on this one.
Okay. I like the
just
disagreement.
Just because we haven't really... Like, Melisandre, we knew she was going to show
true.
Up.
It's true.
We haven't seen anything with that actor in the preseason and the promos or anything. Like, I don't think he was at, like, the premiere or anything like that. That actor specifically, like, he was in... what was the horror show? Haunting of Hill House. He was in that. Like, that was, like, his big role recently.
He's busy.
So, yeah. So, I think he might... He might be done with Game of Thrones.
He can do two appies. I don't know. But, yeah, the thing you said about the whole press thing and all that, that's interesting. For sure. But I think Tyrion knows. Tyrion said, like, it's good to have people back here if you ever need them, and we can always come back here. So... Tyrion might say, if they're depleted, it depends how depleted they are. I think if they think they're going to lose, they're definitely going to make a play. But, yeah, I like the disagreement here. I'll say we see him again. You could say we don't. One thing I know you want to get to, and then we can shut this down, is Cersei's line about Daenerys to the Iron
Yes.
Bank.
So this is something I'm usually not on board with, these kind of far-fetched theories, but this one I kind of like better than most. So Cersei, when she was contracting the gold company, she was talking to... character, the Iron Banker, Tycho Nestoris, his name is, and
Tycho.
They're talking about the Golden Company and how she's got them coming over, and that's going to be her ticket to retaining the Iron Throne. And you know, the Iron Bank has backed her, like they want her to win. And Tycho says to her, "What about the Dragon Queen?" And she says, "I have other plans for her." And it's just that's it. Like
that's
it's
it.
Kind of ominous. So other plans for Daenerys. I don't think it's just like, oh, we have this scorpion ballista, you know, anti-aircraft thing.
You don't think it's more than that?
I think it has to be more than that, because it has to be. It has to be. Cersei is, you can't underestimate her.
And people are. People are underestimating her.
So what could it be that she has up her sleeve? One theory is Tyrion. We know they had that off-screen conversation last season. That's... still something we're holding on to, holding out for something to come from that. So Tyrion could betray her. We know there's betrayal coming, allegedly. So,
yes.
So that's definitely something to look out for. Number two, here's kind of the far-reaching theory. What if Cersei has contracted with the Faceless Men? What if she has an assassin to kill Daenerys? That would kind of bring Arya back to the front line of... You know, she's got to kill her trainer. She's got to kill Jaqen H'ghar or whoever, you know.
Yeah.
Not the Waif. She already killed the Waif. But, you know, a faceless man that she has to take down. So I think it's pretty out there. I think it's unlikely, but I think it would be cool. That's all. I mean, can't underestimate Cersei.
Cersei will not go down easily. We know that.
She's not going to be the Night King. She's not going to blow a big lead. She's not going to, you know... walk out and gloat and get stabbed in the back. Like she's better than that. She's smart. She's survived this long a reason she survived this long. Like she's smart.
She will do anything.
And she is a wild card. She has no regard for human life. Like she will do whatever it takes. She's ruthless.
Yeah. And we're going to get a full dosage of it. These last three episodes for sure. It's going to be super wild to see how it all ties together. Anything else?
Just make sure you, like we said, follow the Twitter right after GOT.
Yes.
And on iTunes, make sure you rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up with some good reviews. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, we love the positive reviews. That always makes us feel good. But no, we've been an all time high with this. We really appreciate everyone listening. Sharing with whoever it may be, friends, family, whatever. Retweets on Twitter, all that. Spread the word. It's awesome. We appreciate it. I'm climbing up the charts. Hope to continue to climb up the charts on that instant reaction Monday. And if you're just listening for the first time, Sunday night, right after the episode. This is called Right After Thrones for a reason, because we always go live right after the episode. And we got a link up there in the Twitter. Listen along. Tweet in. We'll talk about your tweets. And then we'll post that if you missed anything on Monday morning for you guys to catch up. But yeah, wow. 50% of the way done. And three to go. Going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, and we're ready. We're going to be with you all three.
Awesome. So listen in every week. Instant reaction, analysis, and then preview pod. Three a week. We're cranking them out. We thank you guys for listening. Until next time, for Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Join us again right after Thrones.